Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. We're in a paradoxical time of the year. This time of year is filled with parties, fun, feasting, and frivolity. But paradoxically, this is the time of year that after the litter and glitter have been removed and the relatives go home, people often become depressed. Studies show that a person usually begins contemplating suicide at least 4 months in advance of the actual event. Studies also show that more people commit suicide in the spring than in any other period of time during the year. So this means that they usually begin this contemplation somewhere around the month of December. People oftentimes build up an expectation for the holidays, and after they're over, there's usually a big letdown. Some sort of post-holiday blues sets in and clouds their thinking. This is especially true for older people who live to see some of their family members once a year. Then after a few days of fellowship, they're left with an empty house, and feelings of loneliness and depression all too often sweep over them like a tidal wave that pulls them down to the depths of despair. So despite what might appear on the surface, this is a time in which people need encouragement. They need to be lifted up with a sense of purpose for their lives and filled with hope for the future. If you were asked, and I'm asking now, what would have to happen in your life to encourage you the most? When I think about this, I immediately think about events of the past that have occurred. I think about how I wish that I had done things differently, and I think about how I wish I could have prevented so-and-so from making the mistakes they made so they would not have to suffer as they're suffering. But then I realize I cannot make that which is crooked straight. I cannot change the past. However, I can learn from the past. I can repent of the past. I realize that I must come to grips with what is. And as I say, what is, and what isn't, isn't. And I must deal with what is. If I don't gird up the loins of my mind then and now and deal with what is, that will defeat me. Many of the things of the past that I would like to correct and make straight are not my doing. I'm just grieved by them. And this is especially true with many elderly people. They're grieved by what has happened to their children and grandchildren because they're reaping what they have sown. So one of the first steps for being encouraged is to come to truly understand that you cannot change the past. Crying over spilled milk will not put milk back into the bottle. One thing we must be careful to realize is that oftentimes our grief over past events has to do with how they affect us personally and what so-and-so did, their mistake, cost me dearly. We can easily become so concerned with the burden that their mistake placed on us that we lose sight of the burden that is placed upon them. One of Satan's greatest strategies is to have you become obsessively concerned with self. Satan is so obsessively concerned with self to the point that his focus is on deceiving the world into worshiping him instead of worshiping and trusting God. Satan is on an insatiable quest to be worshiped, and eventually that is going to be realized for a short period of time as he and the false prophet deceives the whole world, and one will sit in the temple of God saying that he is God, and the whole world will worship him. When we think of encouragement, we generally think of how someone else can encourage us. If so-and-so would just do such-and-such, then I would be encouraged. But so-and-so never does such-and-such, and thus I'm never encouraged. What a pitiful trap to fall into. And I would hasten to add that just about everyone has fallen into this trap at one time or another. The old saying goes something like this: give a man a fish, and he will envy you. Teach a man to fish, and he will love you. Can you learn to encourage yourself in the face of great distress? Note what King David did in the face of great distress. This is found in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 8. I'm reading from verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive. And David was greatly distressed, For the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself and the Lord his God. So can you encourage yourself? Can you be encouraged in the promises that are contained in the Word of God? Believe it or not, the principal way you can be encouraged is by helping others. Here the people were about to stone David, blaming him for the fact that their sons and daughters had been taken captive. Remember, it is more blessed to give than to receive, and love is expressed through outgoing concern for others. Notice what the Apostle Paul writes concerning love and sharing one another's burdens. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tested or tempted." Yes, we are responsible. We are our brother's keeper. And if we see our brother in a fault, it is our duty to go help him. He goes on to write in Galatians 6:2, "Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be nothing when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things." The word translated communicate is koinoe, to come into communion or fellowship with, to become a sharer, to become a partner, to enter into fellowship, joins oneself to an associate, makes oneself a sharer or a partner. So let him that is taught in the word share, let him communicate, let him join himself unto him that teaches in all good things. But if a person withdraws from the arena of life and does not fight the good fight of faith, no one can help them. Before we can truly learn to serve others and thus be encouraged, we must learn to let others serve and help us. If we refuse others this opportunity, then we're robbing them of their joy and opportunity for encouragement. One of the greatest tragedies of our current culture and the spirit of the times is that life should always be filled, at least we're led to believe, with fun, with feasting and frolicking. So-called hard times, bad times, and trials will not sell the things that are advertised on television and in the newspapers. Trials and testing provide us with the opportunity to show God and Christ that we understand what life is all about, that we know that through trials and testing we can be refined and made into the image of Christ. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 3, "Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better." But we're led to believe in this world that life should always be filled with fun and frivolity. And the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trying of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Yes, what this life is all about and the purpose of this life is to become sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ is going to appear and he's going to reward each one of us. We're going to be given a crown of life. Understanding how to deal with trials and testings is one of the things that separates the sheep from the goats. It separates the overcomers from those who give up and give in. The Bible is replete with admonitions to overcome and endure to the end. This requires real spiritual understanding, spiritual maturity, and spiritual depth. This is the great proving ground for those who would be Christians and those who really aren't Christians. Now note the admonition of James, the Lord's brother. In James chapter 1, verse 1, "James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. How can this be so? How can patience have her perfect work? When you know and know that you know that God is faithful, who has promised that he will always deliver you from all of your trials, then you can let patience have its perfect work, and you will be perfect, entire, wanting nothing, because your trust, your faith, your confidence is totally in God. He goes on to write, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you have to ask in faith. You have to believe and believe that God is faithful, who has promised, who will ultimately deliver us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God wants us to be single-minded and fervent for the way, his way of life. One of Satan's most effective weapons is to get you in a state of hopelessness and despair where you say, I just don't care. The I don't care and a lukewarm attitude are the handmaidens of defeat. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore how you can be encouraged in a world of gloom and doom. If you would really like to understand what this life is all about, then you need to call for our free booklet, What is Your Destiny? This booklet will explain to you why you draw breath, why you were born, why you're here on the earth. This booklet will greatly encourage you, because once you come to understand that this life and what it's all about has to do with the life that is to come, that is preparation for the life that is to come, and any kind of trial or any kind of defeat, any kind of obstacle that might come your way right now can be defeated. If you keep your eyes and you keep your heart and mind focused on the big picture, the big picture is that God through Jesus Christ is bringing sons and daughters to glory in his family, and that we're going to rule and reign with God in Christ forever and ever. So all you have to do to receive this free booklet, What is Your Destiny?, which really deals with why you were born, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And we'll also send you a free subscription to the Good News Magazine, a magazine of understanding that presents timely articles that helps you deal with the everyday issues of life and also helps you prepare for the future. So to receive the free literature, once again, all you have to do is call the toll-free number. That number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. Yes, we're living in a paradoxical time of the year, a time in which there is feasting, frivolity, and parties, and all kinds of things going on, ball games and entertainment, relatives visiting, but it won't be long till all of that will be over, and people will be faced with the real issues of life. Some will become lonely, some will become discouraged to the point that they contemplate even taking their lives. So how can you be encouraged in a world that is so filled with bad news? It's not just the things that you have to deal with on a personal level in your own family, but the whole world scene is filled with gloom and doom, with wars and rumors of war, with earthquakes in different places, famine, drought, disease, and all the things that currently plague the sons of men. So what can you do to defeat hopelessness and despair? As I mentioned earlier in the program, one of Satan's most effective weapons is to get you into a state of hopelessness and despair, where you just say, I don't care. The Laodicean attitude, this lukewarm attitude, is described in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 20, where the Apostle John is instructed to write the things that are, the things that have been in the past, and the things that are to come. And first of all, he writes messages to seven churches in Asia. These churches represent attitudes that have been extant among God's people through the ages. And to the church at Laodicea, he writes, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, sort of in a I don't care attitude, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and know not that you're wretched, miserable, poor and blind and naked, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Gold is symbolic of the highest form of character in the Bible, that you may be rich in white raiment, that you may be clothed. And white raiment is symbolic of the righteousness of the saints, and righteousness is imputed to you, reckoned to your account, when you obey the commandments of God. For this is the love of God, that we should keep his commandments, as his commandments are not grievous. That's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. He goes on to say that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So God is calling upon each one of us right now to be zealous, to repent, to turn away from I don't careism, to turn away from being lukewarm, to turn away from being satisfied with whatever state we're in, that we are to move forward in our quest for the kingdom of God. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, see, time after time in the Bible, we're admonished to overcome. We're admonished to endure to the end. We're admonished to not let the handmaidens of defeat, that is hopelessness and despair, flood into our minds and get us in a give-up attitude. To him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also am overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. So one can be greatly encouraged in the face of great trials if they really understand what this life is all about. And as I said earlier, you can call for our free booklet, What is Your Destiny? All you have to do is call the toll-free number, 1-888-886-5614. The Laodiceans apparently thought that what mattered was the appearance of love, joy, and peace. The appearance that they had it made, that everything was all right, that they were not really fervent and turned on for anything. They had never really understood what true encouragement is all about. In reality, encouragement centers on living by faith. One of the things that I have a tendency to think when a trial comes my way is, why did God let this happen to me? He could have prevented it, but then I think, this is an opportunity to show that I indeed know what it means to live by faith. In approaching the trial in this way, I'm encouraged, and Satan is defeated. Remember what James writes in James 4:7? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Note this prayer. I ask God, is the title of this. I ask God to take my pain away. God said, no, it is not for me to take away, but for you to give it up. I ask God to make my handicapped child whole. God said, no. Her spirit was whole, her body was only temporary. I asked God to grant me patience. God said, no, patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It isn't granted, it is earned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said, no, I give you blessings. Happiness is up to you. I asked God to spare me pain. God said, no, suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit grow. God said, no, you must grow on your own, but I will prune you to make you fruitful. I asked God for all things that I might enjoy life. God said, no, I will give you life so that you may enjoy all things. I asked God to give me love to others as much as he loves me. And God said, ah, finally, you have the idea. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced the fiery furnace, do you think they were encouraged or discouraged? Note the response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were faced with a fiery furnace. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden thing which you have set up. When we live by faith, we can be encouraged all day, every day. God has promised never to leave us or to forsake us. As the prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah 43, verse 1, But now thus says the Eternal that created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Eternal your God, the Holy One of Israel. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. Now know what the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We should ever be mindful of the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then we know that if we read and study the word of God, it will increase our faith and provide encouragement. Faith is a gift of the Spirit and a fruit of the Spirit. Remember the scripture that Jesus quoted to the disciples? This is what Jesus said in John 6:63. Christ states, the words he speaks are spirit and they are life. So one of the greatest ways for you to be encouraged is to open up the pages of your Bible and read God's love, care, and concern for you. It will increase your faith. Read the 23rd Psalm. After reading the first verse of the 23rd Psalm, one little girl said, This is all I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Another way we can be encouraged is through prayer. By talking to another person, we're often encouraged just to be able to know that someone else cares and knows that we're alive. So what about talking with God? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 admonishes us, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The principal way that you can cast your care on him is to pray. One person writes about what Satan fears most. What Satan fears most is a man on his knees, not vast marching armies with great weaponry. He knows he can stand against the powers of men to engage us in battle. Is mere sport to him, but a man on his knees with his head bowed in prayer is something quite different to the prince of the air. For when he sees us in prayer to our God Most High, he knows that we have seen through his devilish lies. That's what Satan fears most, a man on his knees, and we'll keep him trembling if our prayers never cease. People encouraging people. Remember the song, People Who Need People Are the Luckiest People in the World. Sometimes just the sight of another person will cause encouragement to well up in our minds and in our heart. Another person writes about the strength of a man. The strength of a man isn't seen in the width of his shoulders. It's seen in the width of his arms that circle you. The strength of a man isn't in the deep tone of his voice. It's in the gentle words he whispers. The strength of a man isn't how many buddies he has, it's how good a buddy he is with his kids. The strength of a man isn't in how respected he is at work, it's how he's respected at home. The strength of a man isn't in how hard he hits, it's how tender he touches. The strength of a man isn't in the hair on his chest, it's in his heart that lies within his chest. The strength of a man isn't how many women he's loved, it's in how he can be true to one woman. The strength of a man isn't in the weight he can lift, it's in the burdens he can carry. Is your life on fire for God, or are you being consumed by the fiery trials of life? and thinking that all is lost and your life is being consumed in smoke and flames? Is your hut burning? The only survivor of a shipwreck was washed up on a small uninhabited island. He prayed feverishly for God to rescue him, and every day he scanned the horizon for help, but none seemed forthcoming. Exhausted, he eventually managed to build a little hut out of driftwood to protect him from the elements and to store his few possessions. But then one day, after scavenging for food, he arrived home to find his little hut in flames, the smoke rolling up to the sky. The worst had happened. Everything was lost. He was stunned with grief and anger. "God, how could you do this to me?" he cried. Early the next day, however, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that was approaching the island. It had come to rescue him. "How did you know I was here?" asked the weary man of his rescuers. "We saw your smoke signal," they replied. "It's easy to get discouraged when things are going bad, but we shouldn't lose heart because God is at work in our lives, even in the midst of pain and suffering. Remember, the next time your little hut is burning to the ground, it just may be a smoke signal that summons the grace of God for all the negative things we have to say to ourselves. God has a positive answer for it." So, as we can see, the choice of whether we're going to wallow in the pits of self-pity or whether we're going to look to the hills from whence comes our strength and encouragement, it's all up to us. No knight in shining armor is going to come along and pull us from the pity pits. But there is one who is going to come on a great white horse, who is currently sitting at the right hand of the Father, one who ever lives to make intercession for us. So let's place our focus on him. Let's get our focus off self and our plight and fight the good fight of faith. And may we ever be comforted by these words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, you may call our toll-free number. Call the toll-free number 1-888-886-5614 for the free booklet, "What is Your Destiny?" and a free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And until next time, this is Donald Ward for World News and Prophecy.